Metallica, here they come, the kings of metal!
On a bird!
Hey, this is Stefan, and you're listening to Metal Up, your podcast.
Welcome to Metal Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck.
And I'm Clint Wells.
And this is episode 219. Hey, you know what, Clint? I think we should continue on with the top 10 list and jump into the 2000s.
I think our listeners are going to be pretty surprised because this is quite the curveball.
Quite the curveball, yeah. We never repeat ourselves. We never have a theme. It's just something new we thought of this morning.
A lot of listeners like on the socials are like, what's next, the 2000s? Yeah.
Actually, just kidding. Welcome to episode 219, Metallica top 10 list from the 70s.
It's mostly Leather Charm and Obsession and Trauma songs. But no, and then we were going to do, you know, we could do a whole episode on We Did It Again if that's what the people want.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but we could.
It's possible.
But yeah, we're going to do the 2000s, and which concludes, and I don't want to give too much away because some people are going to, what does it include? Here's what I'll say. The only thing it doesn't include is Lulu.
Right.
So,
or will you or be surprised by my list?
The only song on Ethan's entire list is Junior Dad.
Yeah. I figured that takes up 10 slots on its own.
Well, we're going to burn these down. I think we're going to do it. Paul's not here, sadly, but we are going to do it the way we did the 80s list, except I think we should do what we did with Paul, where we do our 10s together.
Back and forth?
Nines.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And we're going to have clips of the songs. We're going to be taking you down memory lane to a faraway land called the 2000s.
That's right.
And we'll, of course, be encouraging you to make your own lists out there. We're in the email corner today. It's pretty fun. We're going to read some other people's lists. A lot of the lists were revealed on the Discord.
Yes.
So we want to encourage everyone to check that out. First of all, I want to give a shout out to all of our friends in Texas because the snow situation, which has us all pretty locked down here in Nashville.
Right.
But thankfully, we've mostly, I don't think I know anyone that doesn't have power in town. Although I know the east side kind of got smattered with some blackouts, but.
Yeah, nothing affected me over here or anybody I know in East Nashville. But yeah, we're definitely thinking about our friends in Texas. They're going through some hellish kind of stuff down there with massive power outages.
These people haven't had power since Sunday, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the temperatures are very unforgiving. And I was even reading this morning, they're doing like mandatory like water shutoff too, just to save pipes from bursting and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah. People are having to boil water just to use the restroom or to eat. People are melting snow so that they can feed their children.
I know, it's crazy, man.
People are trying to keep babies warm in their houses, which are negative 30 degrees. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's troubling for sure. I don't have any specifics, but I do know that there's a lot of centers out there that are taking in people. I think they're calling them warming centers. Yeah. It seems to be they're all over any area in Texas. So look those up if you're in need of help for sure.
Well, hopefully by the time this episode drops, they've cracked some kind of fucking code over there and gotten those people some electricity.
I know, man. It's really sad for sure. And I mean, I obviously know what it was like to not have power for 9 days after the tornado last year.
Yeah.
But that's nothing compared to dealing with that plus, you know, below freezing temperatures.
Plus pandemic.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Well, good grief. I guess we'll be keeping an eye on that. All my people that I know out there are safe. So,
I know
a lot of people are not doing well. So, all right. Well, on a happier note, you know, I've seen that you've been doing some sledding.
I have. Yeah. Last night, me and Callie, my wife, and our next door neighbor,
my wife
Sarah, my wife, we were like, hey, let's take like a night walk around the neighborhood and let's just bring our sleds just in case. So we went down my neighbor across the street from me. All those houses are on hills. And so we went down her backyard, which ends up at this church and where another friend of mine lives. And it turns out like the church parking lot has this massive hill that had like this little launch ramp at the end of it. And so we were having some fun last night and I ended up breaking my sled into about 10 pieces. So then we went back home real quick. Because the lovely Namarda sent me a Metallica skateboard deck, I pulled the trucks and wheels off my old deck and used that last night. And I attempted to stand up, which I think I posted on Discord, and I failed miserably. It was not easy, but it was a good time.
When you were at the church where you're like, Moses, we sure could use a burning bush right now, bro.
Yeah, man. We can use an ark to get through all this snow and ice.
Oh, my gosh.
Gather all the animals, Noah. Let's do this. Hey,
gather all the animals in Shelby Park, and let's hit it. Let's hit the slopes of the park, bro.
Listen, I'll bring the fish tacos. You bring the ark.
Oh, my God. Well, let's knock out some of the housekeeping stuff before we get into the episode. I have my list ready, buddy. I want you to know my list is ready, and I think it's a pretty good list.
I'm thinking about winging it. Just
really?
Just kidding. No. I am prepared.
Any surprises on your list that you would put in the surprise category?
Honestly, I think that I think half of my list might surprise you.
Okay. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of my list would surprise you. We haven't done that unique particular calibration.
Right.
But there's a number. I don't know. Maybe half. Sure. I'll do half also.
Okay.
Half of my list will surprise you. Half of my list will make you shit.
Wow.
Are you prepared for that? Do you have the appropriate accoutrement for shitting?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm wondering if I should move my entire recording setup to the bathroom though. Just in case.
Or just turn that chair into a weigh your crap toilet.
Ooh.
Master! Master!
Okay. Well, in the news, the only thing I'll mention is February 10th is Cliff Burton Day. And this year, the Murder in the Front Row folk that we know, the Adam Dubins of the world, although Adam wasn't involved with this, but some of the dudes who wrote the book put on a almost 4-hour live stream.
So awesome.
To celebrate Cliff Burton Day. I dipped in on some of it. I didn't watch the whole thing, but it's pretty cool. It was emceed by this guy, Nicholas Gomez, but they had like the guests were like Mike Borden, John Marshall, Michael Olago, Fred Cotton. These are all big names in that early Bay
sure,
Area
yeah.
scene. Corinne Lynn, Sean Killian, Metal Maria, Harold Oyman, who's one of the dudes who wrote the book, James McDaniel. So you can find that online. It's just called Cliff Burton Day 2021. And yeah, it's 3 hours and 45 minutes of just really in-depth remembrances and interviews about Cliff and what he was like. So it's pretty cool for
That's
those
awesome.
Of you who, you know, who got the time and want to dip into the Cliff Burton waters, where I'm told it's quite warm.
Quite warm, yes.
So maybe the folks in Texas want to dip their toes into that pool. I don't know.
Maybe so.
Maybe that's the secret to the power grid of Texas, is just watching the Cliff Burton Day live stream 2021.
Yeah. And
I mean, I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, I'm not a ecologist.
Ecologist?
We ain't scientists.
We don't know how to do science up here. All right, the Patreon train. Let's talk about the Patreon train.
Yeah.
It's an important
All
part
aboard.
Of the it's important part of the ecosystem of Metal Up Your Podcast. Let's say you like the show. Let's say you listen to the show, I don't know, every week for 4 years.
Yeah, long time.
And you wake up in the morning on a Monday and the sun's shining and you know, the sun is coming through a window, all right? You have hardwood floors in your bedroom. The sun's coming through a window and it's a little cold because it's February.
Right.
But it's lighting this little area by your bed right where you put your feet when you get up. And so you can step under that warm, hard wood.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what the show's like for you, you can support the show with your dineros over at Patreon, patreon.com/metalupyourpodcast. Do you want to maybe enumerate and list for them all the things they get over there?
Well, with your dineros, which I love that you use that, with your monies, there's all sorts of stuff. We have done 4 Cover Our World Blackened EPs. 3 of those are Metallica songs. The other one is the big 4 of grunge. Shoot, I mean, you get a bonus track from me. You get a bunch of songs that Clint has written. You get access to your emails being read on the show. First priority for that, access to asking guests questions. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
When are we going to start giving out coronavirus vaccines? When does that start becoming a Patreon?
Well, I have a pallet of them stored in my backyard because it's so
both
cold.
Both doses, I'm told.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. The only thing with the ones I have is you have to shoot them like a shot of whiskey.
Oh, really? I was hoping maybe it was more of a potato gun situation.
Or we use the potato gun to fire them at people to maintain social distancing. You know what?
You must remain 45 feet away at all times. Right.
I think I'm gonna just order a t-shirt cannon and we'll distribute that way.
The point is, we really appreciate and actually need the support over there. It's really important for us at this time, but we don't just want to take your money.
No.
We want to give you shit in return. So
Absolutely. There's
all sorts of fun stuff over there. As soon as you sign up, I think you get dumped a whole bunch of fun shit.
All
sorts
of stuff
over there.
It really
so,
is.
At the very minimum, what you get is a shout out on the show. So we want to say thank you to Nicholas Sard, Ted Overland, and Roland Munoz. Thank you so much, guys. They're going to be tied up for the next 90 days, I'm told, just going through all the goodies they just received by becoming patrons.
Lots of goodies over there for sure.
Now, we also understand if you aren't able to do that, and that's A-okay too, baby. We're just glad you're here listening. We care about you out there. The easiest and freest way to support the show is just simply to leave us a positive review on iTunes or to tell a buddy.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. Be a buddy. Tell a buddy.
Hey, listen, we could be a podcast that charges to leave iTunes reviews.
We could We could erect ourselves a paywall.
That's right. We could put the firewall up, and access through the firewall will cost you shillings.
Indiscriminate amount of shillings. Yes. Congratulations, Metal Up Your Podcast, on over 215 episodes recorded. I trust this indiscriminate sack of shillings.
Maybe some dineros.
Will procure me a spot on the proper side of the firewall, yes?
I would not like to be burned.
I'm almost going to do a Borat voice. I don't want to be burned.
Well, here's the deal. We just appreciate that all of you listen, and we think it's pretty cool, right?
It's
pretty
awesome.
Neat.
It's really cool. I'm constantly blown away whenever, we both edit these episodes, so whenever I'm uploading it, every once in a while I'll go click over on the old map of where people are listening. And it just blows my mind that not only do we have listeners all over the world, the people that would want to support us on Patreon and that really enjoy all this stuff that they get out of it. And not only that, but I mean, dude, we've given away so much stuff to people. It's insane.
That ain't going to stop anytime soon either.
No.
I mean, several of the iTunes contest winners have been sort of slowly catching up and getting a hold of me. So I'm sending out posters, which thanks again to Namarna for donating the posters. And thanks to Chris Ewens for donating the guitar relics. Those are all, as soon as I can leave my driveway, those will all be going out. Dude, we talked about getting out last night because we're not in an emergency situation, but we are kind of low on food.
Yeah.
And Nova has gymnastics normally on that night. And like the main road, Lebanon Pike, is clear.
Oh, yeah.
But getting out of my neighborhood's really dicey.
Yeah, yeah. Today actually might be a good day to do it. Now that we just got another almost 3 inches of snow last night, it'll give you a little more traction than just straight ice like the other day.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we might just try to weather it. But
are either of your cars four-wheel drive?
Yeah, mine is.
Oh, dude, you'll be fine. I've been cruising around East Nashville like crazy, like helping friends out that can't get off their streets and taking a few friends to the grocery store to get food and stuff like that. I haven't had really any issues.
Are you trying to tell me in a sort of not so humble way that you're a hero?
Yeah.
A world without heroes is like a world without sun. You can't look up to anyone without heroes. And a world without heroes is like a...
When you're driving down the snow-ridden streets of East Nashville, are you actually shouting out your window into a megaphone that a hero comes along?
I mean, I just have a hero mix blasting from HQ4.
Yeah. Cool.
I'm telling you, HQ4 has been the champion of East Nashville this week, man. I've been all over the place with HQ4.
HQ4 runner.
That's right, man. Listen, in a time of need, when people are low on food, or I helped a stranger get his car unstuck because he took out his little tiny two-wheel drive car. Listen, not saying I'm a hero, but I'm totally saying I'm a hero.
You've apparently never heard of a little thing called stranger danger.
Well, listen.
That guy could have molested you.
He could have. However,
if you were a kid.
I feel like I could have shoved him and he would have slipped and fell pretty quick.
I've been listening to a pretty cool podcast called You're Wrong About. And okay. then it's like the premises of the episodes are like things that people kind of got wrong.
Yeah.
And one of the episodes is about Stranger Danger and how the kind of moral panic of Stranger Danger in the 90s. It's really fascinating. It's these right. two journalists. One of them's about like, did Yoko break up the Beatles? One episode's about the satanic yes. panic of the 80s. It's really cool podcast. I recommend it.
That's cool.
We're on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, and of course the Metal Up Your Podcast message board, the Discord. I recommend all of you knuckleheads going and checking that out. Place for community, place to find some like-minded people who are getting along in ways that I wouldn't have even imagined a few months ago. It's a very cool, beautiful place.
Right.
And me and Ethan camp out there a little bit too. And we'll say this before we get to the emails. The first track of Lunar Satan Volume 2 has been written and recorded. You did the drums on it.
That's right. It's pretty awesome.
It's really, really cool. I'm really excited about it. And my album Vampire's out.
Which, if I may toot your horn, listen, everybody, the Vampire record is chef's kiss, so good. I'm not saying because I played on that. It really is. It's like Clint went through his archive of everything he's written and pulled out the 10 best songs and added some TLC to them, some condiments to them, some toppings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, redid some things, and dude, it's fantastic. Thank you. I love it. I think it's awesome. I wish there was a cassette of that one.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do a cassette run.
That'd
cassette
be cool.
runs are pretty affordable. Oh, also, all the Lunar Satan printing materials have been sent to the vinyl press, so it's all beginning now.
Oh yeah.
Because you know when you made your record, you have to have it all printed first, like the insert, the sleeve, the mm-hmm. label. Once all that gets to the presser. They start pressing vinyl. So I think that's starting Monday.
That's awesome, dude.
It's today, coming soon. As of listening to this episode. So yeah, those will be coming soon. All right. Good God. Let's get to the emails. Metal Up Your Podcast Show at email.com.
At email.com, Dinero.
You can email us at email.com, Ethan. Yes.
Of course.
Behind the firewall, of course.
Metal Up Your Podcast Show at gmail.com. The tried and true easiest way to get a hold of us, because we always look at the emails. And sometimes I don't look at the DMs on Instagram for like 2 weeks. And then
right.
we get some old shit and hard to keep up with. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of us. So we're going to depart now into the part of the castle that we like camping out in called the email corner.
Let's
go. Do it?
I want to do it. Let's go. All right, our first email is from Danny Cassone. I believe you say it. That's how you say it. He says, I don't normally listen to podcasts. Today, I gave yours a chance. Wow. I actually sat through the Nickelback conversation. Anyways, thank you. It was good hearing your show. I think it's great that you guys have a good sense of humor. One of my favorite Metallica songs is Fixer. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Tuesday's Gone would have definitely been on my 90s list. Thanks from a fellow fan and fellow metal nerd, Dan. Well, Dan, thanks for the email, man. I'm glad you're on the ride with us.
Yeah, totally. Tuesday's Gone is a great cover by them and like perfect. I just don't like that it was that live radio broadcast where they're a little drunk.
It's a little loosey-goosey. I would have preferred it if they did an actual recording in the studio on
exactly.
that session.
Exactly. Well, what's weird is at the very end of it, when they're like joking and Hetfield's like thanking everybody. He's like, thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Popper. Thanks, you hear Lars say in the back, that was great. Let's do it again. So I think they ran it a few times,
okay.
and that was probably the best one.
Yeah.
But it, especially on disc one of Garage Inc., which is just chef's kiss recording, Metallica recording.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just real loose. It's just a little too loose. There's some off-pitch singing. It's a little long. I mean, they're a little drunk. If you listen to that radio broadcast, they're all kind of drinking and having a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I think the moment is really cool. I think, maybe they chose that performance because it was like, hey, it's going to be tough to get all these dudes in the same room again to maybe do this in the studio or whatever. Different tour schedules, whatnot. So maybe it was like, hey, this is a cool moment in Metallica history, and let's put that out. So
yeah, all good points, all valid points. Thank you for making them. I agree. All right, our next email is Owen Ward. He says, hey, Clint and Ethan, I'm a huge fan of the pod. Finally caught up after a year or so of listening. Your show means so much to me. I'm in my second semester of college. Due to COVID, I haven't really been out of the house much. You guys give me an escape when I'm feeling lonely, and you always keep it light and fun, a rare thing for sure. As soon as I can afford to, I'll be becoming a patron. Thank you. For now, though, the content's off the charts, and appearances by Paul, Metallic Claws, and all your various characters make a great experience even better. Much love from down here in the sweaty armpit of America, which is, I believe is Florida.
Florida,
Gainesville, Florida. He leaves his 90s list, so I'll read that real quick. Number 10, Ain't My Biatch. Number 9, Bleeding Me, S&M version. Wonderful choice. Number 8, Of Wolf and Man. 7, Astronomy. 6, Fixer. 5, Outlaw Torn. 4, My Friend of Misery. 3, Hero of the Day. 2, No Leaf Clover. 1, The Unforgiven. 2. He says, no shade to the big hits not included here. These are pretty much the ones that are still relatively new and interesting to me, and I'm always excited to hear. Rock on. Owen Ward, Gainesville, Florida. New Jersey. Thanks, guys.
Oh, that's cool.
Very cool. Astronomy surprisingly got a lot of love on a lot of people's lists.
It did, man. Yeah, it was really fun reading through people's lists on Discord. A lot of surprises in there that I wouldn't have guessed. But hey, man, listen, everybody, it's your list. You do with it what you please.
Do with it what you will.
Of course, yes. Just come forth through the firewall and show us your list and your dineros.
Okay, next email.
Next email is from Namarta. She says, hello, my babies. Here's my 90s top 10 list. This is number 1 through 10. We have number 1. Oh, sorry, let me read in reverse order, of course. Excuse me. Number 10, Outlaw Torn from S&M. Number 9, Unforgiven. Number 8, Fixer. Number 7, Bleeding Me from Woodstock 99.
She went Woodstock 99. Bold choice.
Very bold and kind of a curveball. It's like one of those things I wouldn't really have guessed.
I'm not sure it really counts.
Right. I think Narada might be a cheater.
I'm not sure it's officially within the purview of the rules, but I believe in this case we'll make an exception, yes.
Please stay on the other side of the firewall momentarily while
you
we
may
discuss
remain
this.
On the war, you may remain on the safe side of said firewall, yes?
Yes,
we end our life as moles.
Moles may not come through the firewall, no.
We end our, well, here's what we do, a two-step plan, see?
Now I'm going into that guy.
Yeah. Number 1, we end our lives as moles. Number 2, we go down the street to the Mexican restaurant and order mole.
And pay with dineros.
And pay with dinero.
Okay, number 6.
And we pay with rolls of quarters. Yes.
Rolls of quarters.
Just because it sounds like mole.
That was really exciting as a kid, I remember. It was like my grandma would give me like a roll of quarters that you could like $5 or whatever to go to the arcade or whatever. Man, that was so exciting.
You could also, I mean, it's also a poor man's weapon.
It really is. You could hurt someone with that.
When you're going down to the arcade and you don't know what kind of dust up you might get in.
That's right, man.
Or you're parking, your mom's parking her car in the arcade and some sort of Michael Jackson Beat It sitch might erupt with rival gangs where we tie our hands together in the goddamn parking lot.
You never know, man.
You never know.
Listen, a scuffle may arise when you're battling out on Street Fighter II Championship Edition.
Dude, you never know when you're going to have to both fight a rival gang and do a choreographed dance with them at the same time.
I know. And if that happens, you better hope you have a roll of quarters in your pocket.
Oh, my God. It's the poor man's brass knuckles, baby.
That's right.
It's my new band.
Anyways, where were we? List.
Number
6, Hero of the Day. Mm-hmm. Number 5, Low Man's Lyric. Number 4, No Leaf Clover. Number 3, there it is, Astronomy. Number 2, mm-hmm. Until It Sleeps. And number 1, Unforgiven 2.
It's a good list.
Good list.
That's a good list.
She goes on to say, close to making my list where nothing else matters, Mama said, and Minus Human. I almost threw in I Disappear, but the Discord Metal Police came after me. Yes, as they should. As
let
they
me tell
should.
You what. Let me tell you something about the Metal Police, Ethan. Those motherfuckers don't sleep.
No, they don't.
Because I got in a bit of hot water. I don't know if you saw this, but...
Oh, I came to your defense.
Well, it wasn't just at the Discord. Several emails, several messages on the socials where I apparently, in my fast-talking, quick-witted way, mistakenly said that King Nothing was on S&M, and good God, the Metal Police were... working overtime on that one, baby.
But listen, now you know how I've felt for the last 4 years. Okay.
I resented the comparisons because had I looked it up,
that would be different.
And then said, yes, King Nothing is on this. I've just looked it up, and King Nothing is on the S&M album. Then we're talking apples and apples.
That's Outlaw Torn level right there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, everybody, I have known Mr. Clinton Wells for quite some time now, and I can tell you this. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, in a fiery passion,
mm-hmm.
Clint will speak at a rapid pace, and just sometimes things just come out, you know, and sometimes it might be a mistake, and you know what? That's okay, because we all love Clint, and there's no even need to say we forgive you, Clint, because no apology even needed on your side.
Well, it is true that I will occasionally make a mistake.
It's all in fun. And that's the thing. I don't mind if someone like calls me out for whatever mistake I made, as long as it's in good fun. But if I feel, if you know, but it's one of those things, if you ever feel like it's, you know, like a true metal policeman, then it's like, okay, everyone, let's just calm down.
I like how when you think of it negatively, it's policeman.
Policeman, yes.
A true metal policeman worker. Yeah, I mean, if you can't make fun of yourself, you're in the wrong business when you're broadcasting your own stupid voice out to
exactly.
You know, tens of thousands of people. It's going to happen. I get it.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun.
Namarta ends her email by saying, also, I bought the Wolf Skull Jack All Within My Hands poster during the garage sale. And when it comes, I want to send it to y'all for a community giveaway. Much love, Namarta. Man.
And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on. And you cast your fears aside. And you know you can survive. So when you feel like home.
You actually have a meme now. Your hero comes along.
Yeah, thanks to Angelo.
Thanks to Angelo, yeah.
Apparently, you can make your own meme and upload it to whatever the server is that hosts all those memes on Discord. But, man, I got to say, I feel pretty honored to have one of those.
Someone was posting those of you, and I was like, how did you guys do this? Like, how do I access that meme? And they were like, just type it in. It's in the mainframe. I'm like, Computers and science are pure magic. A goddamn dragon may as well have come out of the forest and burnt me to a crisp, because magic is real.
How is the Discord working if there's not an actual cord plugged into my phone?
How many cords?
For the World Wide Web.
Right. Well, is it a series of cords? Are there tubes? How does the information slide through the tube? Is it underground?
And what's
it underwater?
And as far as I know, a server is somebody that brings your food to you at a restaurant.
Yes. So is there someone like holding a tray, but instead of like, I don't know, appetizers and cheese sticks, it's memes of Ethan? Is that how it works?
I can tell you this. If there's a meme of me, it's going to be next to a blooming onion.
Dude, this is the day of blended characters, because I'm like doing this mini kid plus medieval guy.
I'm going into weird stuff. Like sometimes
it's the snow.
It's the snow. You know, I slept in a little bit today, which is rare for me.
Look at you.
Maybe I'm not 100% right now, but I'm definitely going in between voices. Which, listen, it's fine, it's okay.
Let me tell you something that's a fact.
Do it
straight from God's tongue. If we're not having fun doing this, I quit.
I quit, Mr. White. I'm having a lot of fun.
Huh?
I quit, Mr. White. I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit. I quit. I quit. I quit, Mr. White.
That's a good touch on the ha-ha.
Yeah, Jimmy. He had a good little asshole, little ha-ha.
He did.
Off he goes to write the hit song Alone in My Principles. Okay. Next email, Jay Middleton. He says, what's up, brothers?
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
I went for it.
Dude, nice.
Really loved the email corner of the last episode. Really loved having all three of you discuss the Nickelback hate issue. To be brutally honest, I was a notorious Nickelback hater. Recently, one of my favorite musicians, Devin Townsend of Strapping Young Lad, talked about his new friendship with Chad Kroeger and how he helped him through a tough period of his life. I also heard an interview with Chad on a podcast and really started to like him as an individual and respected him even more as a musician and a writer. I decided to take a deep dive into their catalog and make a tough decision to myself. I really love the first two Nickelback albums. I tweeted at Chad a big apology for talking so much shit for so long, only to find out there's a comedian also named Chad Kroeger, and he had a lot of fun fucking with me. Oh, well, I tried. It's the thought that counts, right? Even though you host a Metallica podcast, it's really fun to hear about other bands, and I think I'm not the only listener who thinks that. I'm thankful for your show and the community it's brought. I've made new friends through the Discord and can't wait for all of us to finally hang out when things are safe again. Sincerely, Jay Middleton, Seattle, Washington, New Jersey.
Oh, man. That's amazing. There's a Chad Kroeger who's a comedian that was messing with him.
Well, here's the deal. If your name is Chad Kroeger and you're a comedian, you have to realize that that is going to happen probably every day for the rest of your life, that someone's going to confuse
totally.
You. And if your job is to be funny, you may as well have fun with that. That's pretty good.
Even if I wasn't a comedian, but my name was Chad Kroeger, I feel like I would have no choice but to mess with people.
I used to, for years, I messed with the other guy named Clint Wells and invited. Have I ever told you this story?
Oh, dude, I remember. I mean, was this in the last, since I've known you, really? I feel like there was Wouldn't you tweet at him or something?
Yeah, I used to tweet at him. Then we became Instagram friends, and I would always invite him to the, anytime I played Chicago, I would put him on the guest list.
Awesome.
And he for years, and he would never come. Like, a million different cool venues. Like, you know, like if we were opening somewhere cool, like the Vic Theater or Riviera Theater.
Yeah.
Or even like clubs, like the Double Door, Park West, Lincoln Hall. Like,
yeah.
Anytime I played Chicago, I would DM him and be like, hey man, you're on the guest list. You know what name it's under. You got tickets.
Yeah, totally.
And after years and years and years, like maybe 6 years of that, he wrote back and was like, hey man, are you serious about that? And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm serious. Like,
dude, your name has been on the list every time I've been in Chicago.
And he goes, I'm really gonna come. Like, if you're being serious, like I'm really gonna bring like my wife and some friends. So I'm like all excited. Our tour manager, when I was with Bob, our tour manager Ted, I'm like, Ted, I need you to put Clint Wells plus 10 on the guest list. And I'm like, just do it, baby. There's a guy named Clint Wells coming. We're like soulmates from, you know, from another dimension. His name's Clint Wells. My name's Clint Wells.
Like, of course.
Like to me, it's like when you see someone in traffic that's driving your same car, I'm one of the kinds of people that's like, we're friends.
Totally.
I don't know what you're like. I don't know if our political ideologies may be completely different, but because you happen to drive the same car as me, we're part of a team and a family.
Oh, I give a nod to other 4Runner drivers all the
exactly.
time.
Exactly. But you know why? Because it's understood that you are friends and you're on a team.
Absolutely.
And so, let alone, that's driving a 4Runner, a very nice car, a very popular car that lots of people like. When you're named the same name as me, kind of an exotic name, not a lot of Clints out there.
I would say exotic, yes.
There's maybe 12 of us, okay? Now, how many Clint Wellses are there? There's only two that I know of, and one's this guy. Why he doesn't want to be my friend is kind of a perplexing and enduring mystery to me.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, we share a name. That's the only criteria for me. Second of all, though, I'm cool as shit.
I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to hang out with?
Professional musician, funny, attractive, charming, talented.
I'm going to start calling you Clint Wells version one now.
Well, I'm definitely the cool one.
Or 1.0.
So anyway, check it out. So he finally is like, hey, I'm really going to come. So I tell our tour manager, I'm like, hey, Clint Wells plus 10. My best friend's coming. His name's Clint Wells.
Yeah.
We burn the show down. And I'm kind of like, you know, when you know you have guests at a show, you're kind of looking for them a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm like, but we were playing Park West, which is kind of a big venue. It's like big club, but it's almost theater-like. There's like big balconies and shit.
Right.
And it was a big packed out show. I couldn't really tell. So afterwards, I'm on the bus and I'm like sending him a DM, you know, and I hit up Ted. I'm like, Ted, where did they end up? And he's like, oh, they never showed, dude.
No.
And that was when I was finally like, that's when I quit reaching out to him. I was
like, man, you know what? Fuck Clint Wells.
Yeah, kind of.
Because, well, as you and I both know, and maybe a lot of other people out there do know, if you're getting put on a guest list and you're a no-show, in my opinion, that's it.
Not
no,
cool.
No more guest list for you.
Not cool.
Not cool.
And it's like, look, man, my spiritual beliefs about love and friendship are that it is earned. And like, I'll go out on a limb, you know, for love. But if you don't give it back, baby, I don't have unlimited stores of it.
Yeah.
My friendship and my love are hard earned.
That's
and
right.
I like to believe that me as a friend and as a lover, I earn that shit back. And here's what the other Clint Wells did, the uncool Clint Wells. He didn't earn it.
Yeah.
I was willing to put the money down. I was willing to put up some collateral, and he didn't make good on his side of it.
What a butthole Clint Wells is. You know, I'm going to start calling him Clint Unwells.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, tour manager, can you put Clint Unwelcome on the guest list?
And if he shows up having beat up in the alley, can
That's
you do
right.
that?
Yeah.
In front of, okay. All right. Thank you, Jay. By the way, Jay's a patron of the show and in a cool band called Aurora's Eyes based up out of Seattle. So give that a check-a-roo if you'd like to.
A little check-a-rooney. Our next email is from Carl Beard. It says, hey guys, I have an alternative 80s list of Metallica songs and it's a top 12. You'll see why. Okay. Consider me intrigued.
Oh.
You've mentioned throughout the show that a lot of songs from the 80s could fit on the Black Album as an argument that the Black Album wasn't such a wild departure from their previous stuff. I wanted to test that argument and make a playlist of songs from the 80s that would fit on the Black Album. Okay, this is fun. I made the list so that it matches the track list in the Black Album track by track based on overall feel, tempo, similarity of riffage. The playlist came out really good, and some of the tracks have become some of my favorite Metallica songs just for how good they fit on this list. Okay, so here we go. So top 12 80s Metallica songs that could have been on the Black Album. Number 12, Freight Ends of Sanity. Number 11, The Thing That Should Not Be. Number 10, Eye of the Beholder. Number 9, Ride the Lightning. Number 8, Sanitarium. Number 7, No Remorse. Number 6, Leper Messiah. Number 5, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Number 4, Fade to Black. Number 3, Shortest Straw. Number 2, Harvester of Sorrow. Number 1, Seek and Destroy.
So this is one I think we probably should have read from the one on, because let's compare, right? So one, so he's comparing Seek to Sandman. What do you think about that?
I don't really see much of a tempo wise, I guess.
Well, and they're both like big hooky hits.
Big hits, yeah. Okay.
So I can see that. Like Seek is probably the biggest hooky chorus of Kill 'Em All.
For sure, yeah.
So I can see the logic there. Harvey and Sabbath True, they're both kind of considered two of the heavier songs.
Right.
I can see that. Kind of mid-tempo. Then he's got Shortest Straw for Holier Than Thou. I think that's actually pretty,
that's pretty,
pretty spot
good,
on.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of thrashy on both ends.
Fade to Black for Unforgiven also of makes course. Sense. Bells for Rome. I think that actually makes sense too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's got that kind of slow to mid-tempo feel. And yeah, that works.
Then we've got Leper Messiah for, what's number 6 on Black Album? Tread? Don't Tread on Me? Who's got that around?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. I hear it. Hear the sirens.
Hear the sirens coming.
God knows the Metal Police just had their meatloaf, and before nap time, they like to get a few complaints in.
Is this your place? No. I live with my mom. Yeah. You hungry? Hey, Ma! Can we get some meatloaf?
So.
Don't try to me. You're right.
Okay, I was right. Cool. So he's got Leper Messiah for Tread. I actually think that's pretty accurate, too.
Yeah.
No Remorse for Through the Never. Do you have the track list up?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so that's true too. That's kind of got that groove vibe. Although I might have put Puppets for Through the Never just because those riffs are so similar.
They're very similar. Yeah, I agree with that.
He's got Sanitarium for
Nothing Else Matters.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean with the exception of the fast Sanitarium ending, but yeah, that works.
Right.
Wolf and Man.
Lightning for Wolf. Eye of the Beholder for Misery?
God That Failed.
Thing That Should Not Be for Misery. I like Thing That Should Not Be for Misery.
Yeah.
Eye of the Beholder and God That Failed. What do you think about that?
I don't know if I would have maybe have done that one.
What would you put from the 80s for the God That Failed? I feel like a sludgier one is more in line.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Probably Escape, I guess.
Well, Freight Ends for Sanity for Struggle Within, I think, is that pretty accurate, too. That's a really interesting way to do this list. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So cool.
That's like really cool. I thought that what was happening with the list before were pretty cool, but this is like really cool.
Like, I might get that list screen printed on a t-shirt because it'd be such a fun shirt to have.
I might get that list screen printed on my butt cheek because it'd be a cool tattoo to have.
I'm gonna get it tattooed across my neck.
Then people are like, people like get the coiled snake or like they get like Lady Justice, but I got Carl's 80s Black Album list tattooed on that.
Hey, so, Ethan, what's that new tattoo on the front of your throat? This is Carl's list that if 80 songs of Metallica were on the Black Album. I just didn't want to forget it.
He wrote a thing here at the end, I guess.
He said, thanks again, guys, for a great show and for creating this community of amazing people. Shout out to the Discord family who I interact with every day. Peace and adios from Norway. Well, thank you, Carl.
I think the accent's from Norway. I think she sounds like this in Norway.
I can only really do the German accent, which I make into Torben's too, so I can't really do much Scandinavian accents. But I've been to Norway and it's amazing.
I want to do a contest to see if you can pick out the accents.
First,
I will do the Austrian. Hi, I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger from Austria. It's not a tumor.
Come on.
Who's your daddy? What does he do? Second, I want to do Denmark. This is my Copenhagen accent. My son Lars is a drummer for the Metallica.
Now, I think it'd be really cool if I did a Florida accent. Hello, I am an alligator from Florida. That's what they sound like.
They do, those alligators. All right, moving on. Stan Pearl. Which, by the way, special shout out to my homie Stan Pearl, because he is doing the Lord's work. He is going back and listening to every episode of Metal Up Your Podcast and making a detailed spreadsheet of all the things that occur in the episodes. The first time you hear from the Joyces, the first time you hear from Pawpaw, people who write in, funny little bits that happen. I'm sure me saying King Nothing is on S&M will be in whatever episode that was. And when he's done with that project, that's going to be just a very valuable document of our journey here at Metal Up Your Podcast. So thank you, Stan.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's doing this for the Library of Congress.
Yeah, to submit to the government to procure and to, what's the word I'm looking for here? To preserve the work we have done here.
That's right.
And then they're going to send it to James Hetfield in a big Bible-sized, you know, tome.
As far as I know, there at the Library of Congress, there is a space open next to Master of Puppets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where all this documentation of Metal Up Your Podcast will go.
Well, I have it on good authority that if there's not a space next to Master of Puppets, that they're willing to replace Master of Puppets with this.
Yeah, yeah, which I know seems a bit harsh. However,
but I don't make the rules.
I mean, hey, listen, this is episode 219. Did they make 219 Master of Puppets? I don't think so.
Not, last time I counted, they only made one.
They made one.
Which, slacking a little bit, but okay.
Yeah.
So Stan writes in and says, hey guys, loved the last episode about the top 10 80 songs. This is one of my favorite types of episodes because it's so much fun seeing how nerdy we can all get about this amazing band and also how our tastes and opinions change over time. Anyway, I thought I'd write in with my top 10 list too, so away we go. So this is the 80s list. He says, number 10, The Prince. This is my favorite Metallica cover and gets me so hyped. I started a circle pit with my two dogs. And honey, Lucius and Valentino love to get in a nice pit every once in a while.
They do. A mud pit, a ball pit, or a circle pit.
Every couple of doggy or a doggy biscuit pit. Because they love the interaction. They love to get close. And they love, because here's the deal, honey. Pits are about love. A circle pit's about love. It's not about
That's
violence.
Right.
Because people take care of each other in the pits. You know this, Ethan.
Oh, honey, please. Of course I know this. Listen, I did a lot of slam dancing when I was younger. And listen, honey, I fell down so many times. And there was one time you picked me up. Michael Alago picked me up one time. It was crazy.
Is that how you got your bad hip, Joyce?
Of course. Yes, it was.
Were you slam dancing in your board shorts?
I was slam dancing in my muumuu.
I was with... Well, before I graduated to the moon, before my second hip, I was slam dancing in my board shorts and I had a chain wallet and I was wearing my Vans.
Oh, wow.
And that's the same outfit I wore when I picked up Lucius from the pound. They were going to euthanize him. I said, don't do to him a Megadeth album title.
Please don't. Even Dave Mustaine wouldn't like that.
So far, so good, so what's what I said.
Exactly.
Number 9, Hit the Lights. He said, this is just straight up partying fun.
Yes.
What do you mean with the lyric, no life till leather, we're going to kick some ass tonight?
That sounds like a party to me.
Number 8, Harvester of Sorrow. He says, the power and swagger in Harvey is palpable. Number 7, Damage Inc. To me, this is the thrashiest thrash song of them all. So much speed, so much thrash. I'm here to get drunk off of all the thrash.
So much thrash.
Number 6, Ride the Lightning. The song is actually so elegant to me. The combination of power and beauty is on full display here. I agree with that. Number 5, Blackened. I mean, it's pretty all right. And by all right, I mean it hits me in all the right places. Number 4, One, he says, I see this as Metallica's Stairway to Heaven or Dream On that takes you on an epic adventure of metal glory. The back half of the song has such a strong concentration of incredible riff arrangement, harmony, and soloing that it has to be considered one of the greatest metal songs of all time.
All time.
Number 3, Orion's Sonic Poetry. The music reaches out a hand to hold my heart and infuse it with magic and send me soaring through galaxies unknown. Cliff's magnum opus in Metallica. I think the poet here is Stanford.
Yes, I would agree.
Number 2, Master Puppets. Maybe this is a predictable answer for a Metallica fan, but to me, the song is perfection. It's loaded with riffs and solos from almost all band members. Takes you on twists and turns, and I'm Casey Kasem, that feel endless at times, and a dreadfully gorgeous bridge section blending harmonies from all guitars.
Next, I'm Casey Kasem.
I'm Casey Kasem. Number 1, Creeping Death. This song is also perfection. It's really at the same level for me as Puppets. But what gives it the slight edge is I feel a small sense of higher magic in it. The die chant in my mind is what pushes it over that edge and truly sinks me into the mood of the lyrics, giving it that magical connection. I think it's the land of Goshen, personally.
Yeah, which is a magical land.
He says, anyway, those were my top 10 selections. And you know, in all honesty, I'm really glad you guys do this show out of Tennessee because this podcast is the only 10 I see.
Ooh.
Wink emoji. I'll let myself out. Ending strong with a dad joke.
That was a real strong dad joke.
Let me see if I can understand dad jokes. Let me do a couple of things. Let me look around. Oh, yep, there's a kid I made. Okay, let me look in a mirror at my body. Yep, dad bod. Yeah,
yep.
I love the joke, Stan.
Love it.
I would consider myself someone who like really likes comedy and appreciates comedy.
Right.
And two of the biggest stinkers in the comedy world are dad jokes and puns. And mm-hmm. I love both of those.
Yeah, I'm in.
I legitimately think dad jokes are funny and pun jokes are funny. When we watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Guy Fieri, I laugh legitimately out loud all the time when I watch those shows.
He's got some pretty bad dad jokes, but hey, listen, I think they're awesome.
I think all the stupid shit he says about going to Flavortown and stuff is pretty funny.
Flavortown.
Like, he'll throw in those things, the shut the front doors, and I just think they're funny. They're funny to
shut
me.
Shut the front door.
I'm a simple man. Thank you, Stan. We got one last Love list it. To read before we get on to the 2000s, baby.
One last one, short and sweet, from Jesse House. Top 10 Metallica songs from the 80s. He says, just finished the latest episode, so I decided to put together my own top 10. It is actually a hard list to come up with because I couldn't, I could pick any 10 songs from these albums and it would be a good list. So number 10, Cthulhu. Number 9, Fight Fire with Fire. Number 8, Master of Puppets. Number 7, Hit the Lights. Number 6, No Remorse. Number 5, Shortest Straw. Number 4, Welcome Home. number 3, Bells. Number 2, Damage Inc. Number 1, Disposable
Heroes.
Oh my
gosh, you know what I'm going to put in? Linda helped me find that video of when Lars says Welcome Home.
Awesome.
It was at a... oh my gosh. I think I actually guessed the city right. Lisbon.
Was it when they were rehearsing on stage?
It's when they're on. They're like in the round. It was arena. And I think it was in Lisbon, Portugal, which was the first show of like a 2-week run. Okay, so they're just playing around. So I'm going to actually put that in because it's pretty funny.
Well, we should definitely practice.
Yeah, we should.
Welcome home. One.
Welcome home.
Sad.
What's that? Which one's welcome home?
Welcome home. It's a new one.
Which one's welcome home? I never heard of that. Did we have a song called Welcome Home?
Let's try that again. Take two. You know, we should definitely practice a sanitarium.
Oh, yeah. It's just sanitarium. That's killer.
An itarium.
And then we'll practice Welcome Home after.
Welcome homie.
Welcome homie.
Welcome homie.
It's a new one.
Yikes, bro.
Should introduce
it. So let's play that.
Welcome, homie!
Awesome.
And with that, we conclude the email corner. I like camping out with you in that corner of the castle, Ethan.
It's like really fun.
It's like we're like hunched over in the corner and like, what are we, we're like playing cards or something? What are we doing over there? Are we like playing with Pogs?
We're doing Pogs, playing some Pokemon cards.
Here's what we're not wearing. Dunce caps.
Clothing. What? Oh, yes, dunce caps. Of course.
It's fun. You can email us and, you know, your thoughts sitting wherever you are. You type them out into the magical technological square box.
Yeah, put them on the server's tray.
You send it through the server tray, which I'm told are underground cords. And they pop up in our world and we read them on the show and tens of thousands of people hear them, even in motherfucking Turkey. Okay,
that's
the kind of shit we're laying down here.
For all we know, Samim is still hearing these, so be excited about that.
I'm sending out an SOS to Samim with every fiber of my being, bro. Samim, get in touch.
I mean, where
baby.
Are you, bro?
Get in touch, baby. That's all we're saying. Just look. Dude, if you're off the ride, it's fine. People get on and off rides all the time. I myself get on and off rides all the time. We just want
to
know
if you go
to
a theme park, you can't ride a roller coaster over and over and over again. Eventually, you got to get off for a little bit because you're going to get sick.
That is a philosophical axiom of existence. One must get off rides to get on rides.
Of course, yes.
And so, Samim, we send you our love. All of you Melody Podcast people, we send you our love. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear a Patreon commercial. Who knows what we're going to hear? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in this break.
I don't know. So throw something in there, but just, you know, something fun.
I know I'm going to go make another cup of coffee, and we're going to see you guys on the flip-flop, and we're going to burn down these goddamn 2000s lists. What do you say?
All right, go to Flavortown. Hey, everyone. This is Ethan and Clint. We're here to tell you about supporting the show via Patreon.
That's right. Every week, Ethan and I work hard to bring you the best Metallica content possible. If you think the show has value, consider supporting us on a financial level at Patreon.
For $5 a month, or the price of 2 cups of coffee, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. But that's not all.
In addition to being able to help sleep at night for supporting your favorite podcast, we've also come up with incentives to say thank you that are exclusively available to patrons. For example, for a pledge of $5 or more, you immediately get free downloads of every cover Our World Blackened EP.
Ticket giveaways for shows like SNM2 and Slane Castle.
Box sets, rare vinyl, Metallica memorabilia like SNM2 guitar picks.
Email priority, meaning we'll read your email first on the show, with a chance to ask guests like Hailstorm, Jay Weinberg of Slipknot, and Metallica Road Crew your very own questions.
And the opportunity to come on the show as a guest for our Metal Tales bonus episodes, in which you can tell us all about any Metallica show you've been to in the past.
All this and more for becoming a patron and supporting Metal Up Your Podcast.
We couldn't do this show without you, and to everyone on the ride with us, we sincerely thank you. Peace.
Adios.
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache.
Here, take two of these.
Ah, Nuprin. Little. Yellow. Different.
Well, here we are to talk about our lists. And we're going to do it like I said before. We're going to do each of our tens all the way through one, because that's how numbers work.
Whoa.
And then we're going to do a couple of our honorable mentions.
Yeah, we haven't done honorable mentions before, really. I mean, I guess we kind of maybe casually talked about it, but these are official honorable mentions.
I would like to just start off my honorable mention by saying King Nothing would be an honorable mention for me from the 2000s. In fact, King Nothing, the performance at Woodstock 2013.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I need to go. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
What's she doing? I never know what she's doing back there.
So... spoiler alert.
Perfect.
Let's start with your number 10. So the records were kind of whittling down with a few random live releases or surprises would be Saint Anger, Death Magnetic, and Hardwired.
Yeah, which by the way, we're specifically talking about the 2000s as in all of them that have happened so far. So the year 2000
exactly.
till present day.
Exactly.
So yeah, my number 10, I'm going with a track off Beyond Magnetic called Hate Train.
Man, you're starting with the controversy.
I'm starting off with a curveball, man. And I think you might be surprised by my others here. So, yeah, man, I was really, really stoked when they released that stuff, because that's not something Metallica really ever does as far as like, hey, we have extra songs.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of go in, knock them all out, and that's the record. So it was really exciting, because I love Death Magnetic so much, to get four bonus tracks on this EP. And I was a little torn between Hate Train and Rebel of Babylon.
I love Rebel of Babylon.
Hate Train kind of took the cake for the list, to put on the list.
I could see Hate Train being more your world, just because it's more punk rock and faster and metal-y. Rebel of Babylon's like 10 minute, which you like big 10 minute epics too, but...
Yeah, I love a good opus, of course. But I listen back and forth, you know, and I just, you know... Listen, Hate Train gives me, as the kids say, all the feels.
Well, I'm happy to hear that Beyond Magnetic is getting some representation on your list. I think that's very cool. My number 10, I went with Dirty Window. What can I say?
I'm judging, I'm jury, and I'm executioner too. I'm judging, I'm jury, and I'm executioner too. Projector! Protector, rejector, infector, projector, rejector, infector, injector, defector, rejector.
Ooh, got a Saint Anger track already.
The fact that a Saint Anger song has made my top 10 list of a 20-year period of this band is a testament to my open mind, and a testament to how the podcast has helped me understand that record and understand that music. And so there may even be more Saint Anger's tunes on my list. We'll have to see. But Dirty Window is my favorite. It crushes. Yeah, yeah. It crushes. It's got a great chorus. It suffers from the same things that all songs on Sandinger suffer from. It's long. It's repetitive. And there's some sound issues with some certain instruments. But it's a powerful, pummeling song. And for that reason, it's my number 10.
That's awesome, man. I was almost going to put that in even in honorable mentions, but I did not.
Mm.
But my number 9, and this might be another curveball for you, Mr. Clint Wells,
okay.
version 1,
mm-hmm.
I Disappear.
Nice.
Now, I know you love this song, and much like your reasoning for putting Dirty Window on, because the podcast has kind of helped you to grow to appreciate Sandinger, I never really loved I Disappear when it came out, but because of this podcast and your love for it, it has really grown on me over the years, and now I just really love the song.
Awesome, dude. That's so cool. I do remember when I Disappear came out, it was on the Mission Impossible 2 soundtrack,
right.
And it was the first time... I loved it always, but I do remember it was the first time my buds, like my little crew, which we were all diehard Metallica people, and we were all that like S&M Load Reload era. We loved the classics, but we were like hardcore Load Reload era Metallica fans. And I remember that was the first time that my buddies were like pulling away. They thought they were pretty disappointed in I Disappear. And I remember, like,
which is crazy.
I remember just having those conversations in school. Like, when you were in school, did you have like that room that everyone gathered in before like the 8 o'clock bell? Like, I don't remember what it was called. It's called like bus room or something. And you would have like maybe 20 minutes to like chat with your buddies about bullshit.
Yeah.
And I remember
we would always
get
to school kind of early and talk about that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And I remember the day after, I think the way that they put that out is that like, well, first of all, it got leaked, but I didn't hear a leaked version, but I think they just debuted the video or something. And I remember, dude, it's just such a fun time because you would all stay up to watch that separately. No one's talking on the phone or texting. And the next day you came ready to talk about it.
Yeah, for
remember
sure.
That?
Man.
Like it was anyway.
Yeah, you had to put all that, you had to take all that information and store it in your little brain hard drive area.
Well, and you did. And, like we would watch it once and then be totally prepared to talk about the solo and the video and like, the lyric.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I do remember specifically. I mean, as we all walked into our little group, the number one topic on agenda was the new Metallica song. So we're all like, well. And I remember my buds who loved them as much as I did were like, eh. And I was like, I loved it. And, you know, I remember them being like the hey, hey, hey shit they didn't like and hey.
Which I didn't like at first initially upon hearing it. But that, again, that kind of stuff has all grown on me now.
That's cool, dude.
What I did kind of find funny this morning when I was listening to it was Lars's drum sounds are a slight preface, if I will, to the Sandinger snare drum
sound. Yeah, he's got the snare off, right?
It's not off, but it's definitely a ringy snare. And you can tell that, like, I don't know, I have no idea if maybe recording that song, Lars is like, I got an idea for the next record. You see? But I don't know. That's just one little detail in the production that I noticed.
Yeah, people send us that all the time. I get it. But the problem with Sandinger isn't just that the snare's off. The problem is, at least according to interviews with Bob Rock, is they recorded it with like really cheap microphones and like recorded it kind of through like a PA. Like there's a lot more that goes into the garaginess of Sandinger than just that the snare's off.
Right.
And like you said the snare's not really off. It's just tuned.
No, it's just
tight.
Not.
Is it tuned really tight?
It's tuned a little tighter, so it's a little higher in pitch. And you can, at least to my ears, I can tell that there's not much like dampening on the snare, like either by a moon gel or even like gaff tape or whatever.
Good night, Dark Continent. We are moon gel.
We are moon gel. Moon gel is
California.
One of,
they're California band for sure.
My name is Moon Gel. Frank Zappa's my uncle. and we both love fish tacos.
Yeah, my name's Moon Gel. My name's Torf, really, but I go by Moon Gel.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically that's what I hear is that it is a snare with the snare strands are on and just does not have much dampening on the top head.
Cool. And I will point everyone towards their performance of I Disappear on some VMAs, and you can really get a great sense of the amount of heat that Jason Newsted brought to the BGV game. Because
totally.
In the broadcast mix, they have his mic up like super hot. but his mm-hmm. his parts are just killer. I love that mistake in the mixing, because it just really highlights how great he was as a vocalist in that band.
Very, oh yeah, for sure.
Very cool.
What's your number nine?
My number nine is Lords of Summer.
Son of a damn it. How did I
forget that one?
Oh my gosh. Well, here's the thing, like Metallica, they don't have a ton of like original material that's just a single song right. sitting out there, like I Disappear or Lords of Summer.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that in Metallica world. So dang it, I feel like an idiot for skipping over that one, but I'm glad it's on your list.
Well, honestly, I had Hell and Back there. From Beyond Magnetic. That's my favorite Beyond Magnetic song. Would have been cool for me to keep Helen back, because then we both would have had Beyond Magnetic. Although there may be some surprises later on my list. But yeah, I had to go with Lords of Summer. It's interesting. The chatter I see amongst the fans about that song is interesting. You know, there was an early version of it that they played the summer that they were touring.
Right.
I mean, I think they actually wrote that song for a summer tour. And it went through a couple of different iterations. And I wasn't really online then. So I didn't fall in love with whatever versions those were. The version that I love and know is the one on the disc 3 of Hardwired.
Right.
And like the making of video, you can kind of see its journey. And I think it's just where they landed with it is the definitive version for me.
For sure.
But Hardwired Sauce, the sound of it, obviously Greg Fiddleman. It's just a long, great, powerful Metallica song with great riffs. I think it could have been on Hardwired and might have made the album a little stronger than it already is, and for those reasons, that's my number nine. Wait, is that number nine? Yeah, we're number nine.
Yeah, number nine. Yeah.
Okay, number eight.
Numero nueve. Number eight. Another curveball here. So technically a Saint Anger song, but I went with the S&M 2 version of All Within My Hands. Because I just think it's fantastic, and our homeboy Avi is on it. It's just, you know, compared to the album version on Saint Anger, this one I think just totally dominates it. And I just love that they included it on S&M 2.
Yeah, the reworked version is superior.
Yeah, it really is, man. It's just a fun tune, and all the extra instrumentation and backing vocals and stuff just really just kind of... To me, it feels like a whole new song compared to the Saint Anger version.
Well, keeping on with the S&M 2 theme, my number eight is what is now currently the definitive version for me, is the S&M 2 version of The Day That Never Comes.
We'll be right back. Dude, that's awesome.
There was no way great that choice. Song wasn't going to make the list. And in fact, as much as everyone get as much credit as that song gets, I still don't think it really gets enough credit. It doesn't get talked about enough.
I know, man. I mean, to me, it's a continuation of Sanitarium and Fade to Black, you know, and even The Unforgiven in a way. I mean, that's one of my favorite Metallica songs ever.
I think I might even like it more than Sanitarium.
Hey now.
Hey, look out. Hey now.
Look out.
Hank Kingsley. I was thinking the other day about just how cool it was to be able to talk to Bruce Coughlin about the dude who did all the new arrangements. Just to be able to talk with him, which I've kept up with Bruce since we did that interview. He's such a sweet dude.
He is really nice. He's awesome. He'll shoot me a little. He'll slide in my DMs every once in a while.
Hey, fun.
That to me is starting to feel like a dad joke when people our age say it. If you're like over 30 and you're like, hey man, slide in my DMs, like, come on, dad.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody says that.
I didn't really inject it into my vernacular until I started listening to Drake. And he's got quite a bit of that in his music, as I'm sure you can imagine. Dude, do you ever listen to Drake?
I will say this. When I was in Reliant K, we opened for Drake one time.
At
San Diego State University.
Oh my God, dude. Just straight off the 405?
That was off I-5. Five south through the OC, stop in San Clemente, get some fucking fish tacos and Pedro's, and then cruise down to San Diego State.
Open for Drake.
That's a real place, by the way.
So you opened for Drake.
It was the weirdest lineup. It was like, you've done like radio shows, you know, and I don't know how it is in the country world, but in the rest of the music world, most radio shows or college shows, it's usually a pretty eclectic lineup of artists. So the only acts that I remember was Drake headlining. We were direct support, and before us was Thrice.
Jesus.
It was such a weird, like, us and Thrice made sense on the bill. And then, like, we get off stage, and all of a sudden, here comes Drake out on stage. It was just the weirdest thing. But yeah, all that to say, yeah, I think Drake's cool.
I obviously have heard of him forever because he's like one of the biggest artists in the world. But I finally started listening to that album, Views. That's the one I would recommend to you out there.
Yeah.
Very surprised. Well, what happened was I got into Lil Peep. Lil Peep led me to Post Malone, and I absolutely fell in love with Posty. And then that led me to Drake. And
yeah,
I just really highly recommend it. It's great, chill music, and surprisingly really deep shit. All right. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
yeah, for sure.
My number. Wait, is it your turn? Where are we?
Yeah, number seven. Number seven.
For you?
Oh no. Yeah, we're on number seven. Did you give me your number eight?
Yeah, The Day That Never Comes. SNM2.
Day That Never Comes. Right. Okay. So my number seven is Disposable Heroes from the Helping Hands release.
Oh shit! I didn't even think about that. So wait, okay,
whoa.
You mean the acoustic one?
The acoustic because one then, that they officially released on vinyl.
Right, because the last one, they did the acoustic version, but with electrics.
Right, so, right. No, this is from the Helping Hands 12-inch vinyl record.
Dude, that is definitely an interesting choice.
It was, and I feel like it should be a little lower on my list. I don't know why I think that.
Lower meaning higher?
Like higher, like as in, I meant like...
Like more favorite?
Like number eight or nine or something like that. But man, the more I listened to it a few times this morning, I was just like, man, this was such a cool version. And I kind of took myself back to how excited I was when it first came out, because it was such a surprising just rendition of the song. Hmm. And so, yeah, I bumped it up a couple notches.
Definitely an interesting choice. Dude, you have a very interesting list so far for top 2000 songs. You have Hate Train, I Disappear, All In My Hands, SNM2, Disposable Heroes, All Within My Hands.
Well, I think from here on out, there's not really any curveballs. Next, it's just kind of like undeniable great Metallica songs in my opinion.
All right, cool. My number seven, Barn Burner album closer, My Apocalypse. We'll be right back.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
Which is definitely one that's just really come on my radar in the last couple of years.
It's weird, you know, looking at my list, what I've thrown out there so far, that I wouldn't put something like that instead of All to My Hands or Disposable Heroes. But, man, just, again, all the feels were hitting me this morning, man. And, yeah, I just kind of went with my gut, you know. And, again, like every top 10 list we do, this could change tomorrow.
Yeah, we're putting this in the column of having a little bit of fun.
That's
just
right.
A little bit of fun.
You gotta have it always.
I had a little bit of fun yesterday. I want to thank, I think it was TVS Mike on the socials. I posted that picture of that great Ross Halfen picture of Newstead, you know, like on a frozen tundra on the, I guess that was the Justice Tour, the Damaged Justice Tour. And I wrote, you know, Nashville today. And then, so first of all, someone on Twitter wrote back to that, "I live in Iceland. Quit your whining." Like,
oh my gosh.
I'm like, was I whining? It's like the guy who told us we hated Rush. I'm like, but I don't hate Rush. I'm not whining.
And there's also, there was up until last night when we got more snow, there was literally like 3 inches of ice covering everything in Nashville.
Well, so then I posted, like, my wife helped me recreate that picture of Jason because I was like, oh, I could put on a leather jacket and, you know, make the horns or whatever. So I posted that on Instagram and someone wrote, "Gay as fuck."
I didn't see that one, really. Oh my gosh. That's a thing that, like, will forever confuse me, is that someone actually saw the photo of you and Jason and then thought, man, that's gay as fuck. And you know what? I'm going to get my thumbs out. I'm going to type that.
I mean,
hit send.
Yeah, the level of stupidity and meanness in someone to actually just say that, the level of immaturity, it's like, okay.
Do you think it was the other Clint Wells?
It might have been Clint Unwells.
Yeah.
All right, your number six?
My number six, Spit Out the Bone.
Got to get spit in there, huh?
To me, this was kind of tough. It was either going to be this at number six or My Apocalypse, like, because I was kind of in album closer mode on this one.
So you're telling me Spit bumped My Apocalypse?
Spit bumped My Apocalypse, and listening to it back to back, I just kind of, I don't know, man. Spit Out the Bone is just, maybe because it's newer, it's still even more exciting to me. Nothing bad to say about My Apocalypse at all, but yeah, Spit Out the Bone is just a barn burner.
I agree. To me, Spit is the song you play for anyone who says Metallica doesn't just absolutely crush anymore. Like, anyone who says, oh, Metallica hasn't done anything crushing since whatever they say, since Dyer's Eve. Let's say it's one of those people. They haven't done anything pummeling since Dyer's Eve. Spit Out the Bone is one of the songs you play as Exhibit A of go fuck yourself.
Absolutely.
I mean, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Or, I mean, shoot, anything, half of Death Magnetic, I would throw.
Yeah, but that was like 12 years ago. I'm saying, dude.
Yeah, Spit Out the Bone, though, you're right. Spit Out the Bone is pummeling. It's
nonstop. Dude, this is the last song on their last album from 2016.
Yeah.
And it's as cool and pummeling and crushing and fast as anything they've ever done.
Yeah.
So get out.
Yeah.
Number six. Number six for me. Speaking of pummeling, because you're right about really any of Death Magnetic. So I went with All Nightmare Long. I've always said, and I kind of stand by it, but I did say it in a heated moment, but I'd stand by it. It's like them doing Slayer.
Yeah.
But I think it's better than a lot of Slayer songs. But
melody.
It's just brutally fast.
I love that tune. One of the best choruses on the record, in my opinion.
It's interesting because it's drop D. They don't really do a lot of drop D. but great chorus, super fast, man. And just a brutal lyric too. Like there are some people that think that it belongs in the like Cthulhu, you know, they have several songs about Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Thing that should not be, Dream No More is part of that. And some people think that All Nightmare Long is sort of part of that mythos.
Yeah, totally.
So I think that's kind of a fun little element of it too.
Great tune, man. I love it.
Great tune. Yep. All right, number five.
Number five, I'm in back in Death Magnetic World with The End of the Line. This was one of the more exciting songs for me when I first heard Death Magnetic, because it, you know, of course the whole record to me was like, you know, the return to form record, you know, return to kind of like the thrashier stuff. And this one, I think, could have held up next to like stuff off Puppets or Lightning, you know. I think the James's verses are so good, like bleed more and more, pain and misery, all that stuff. As phrasing lyrically, I think it's such a cool song.
Yeah, I love that song too. What's so cool about that song to me is that there's a Tool song from their album Lateralis called Parabola that has that similar riff.
Yeah.
And when I was watching one of their tuning room warm-ups, I think it's actually even that Lisbon one that we played before, and Lars is like, play that riff from whatever, and Kirk's like, oh, the Tool riff?
Oh, amazing.
And I thought for sure they were going to play that, yeah. But I just thought it was so cool that that was a reference point for them to call it a Tool riff.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I wonder if
because I've never really heard them talk about Tool, which is just easily top 10 metal band for me.
Yeah,
I know that Lars had Maynard James Keenan on his radio show, right, which is a pretty good interview.
Yeah,
although Maynard James Keenan is just not a great interview subject. He just
an interviewee.
He's just kind of withholding and contrarian and a little glib.
I heard him on Joe Rogan's podcast and. It was all right.
They're okay.
I
mean, yeah.
Some of the information that he was, you know, talking about was cool. You know, honestly, to me, the most intriguing part of it when he was talking about his winery.
Oh yeah. Well, dude, if that intrigued you for real, there's a whole documentary on Netflix called Blood into Wine about his vineyard.
Oh, that's
and
right.
It's like 90 minutes of him talking about the wine. It's no Tool talk at all.
Yeah.
And
that's cool.
I
like that.
And what's pretty cool about it, in my opinion, is he takes it so seriously, and he talks about how, like, when Tool started to get really successful, like selling out arenas, like 90s, mm-hmm. like right after the Enema album, they won a couple of Grammys and they were like selling 20,000 tickets on their own merit, which is kind of crazy for how deep and crazy that band is to have that. Like, Tool can always sell out arenas now. They're like Pearl Jam in a way. Yeah. Like, they don't need hits. They're just way beyond any of that. They don't have singles.
Oh, yeah,
they don't get played
sure.
on the radio, but they will always.
They're just one of those.
Go ahead.
I was going to say they're one of those bands now that they've had such a solid fan base for so long that
like Rush
and that fan base to me, much like Metallica's, doesn't really ever jump off the train. You know, they're just always fans. You know, or even if you don't like a record or two, their catalog's deep enough where you're going to go to a show and still hear a ton of stuff.
It's an amazing accomplishment because they wait so long to put out records. I mean, their last album was 2006. I mean, Metallica's kind of like that too. But and I don't think Tool could do stadiums, but I saw them twice on this last tour, completely sold out arenas.
Yeah.
And it was like that all over the world. Anyway, what's so cool about the Vineyard stuff is when Tool started to get really famous, all the, you know, record label executives were taking them out all the time, kissing their ass. Mm-hmm. And of course, Tool was always footing the bill.
Right.
And he's like, you know, we'd go to all these schmarmy dinners that we were paying for, and all these corporate executive, you know, fucks were always drinking like this crazy wine. And
right,
he's like, well, I figured I'm paying for it. I may as well try to figure out what it's all about. So that's how he kind of
might as well make it.
That's how he kind of got interested in the curation of wine and then and like all that stuff. And dude, he talks about like all the work you put into it. Like he has like this crazy work ethic. It's really, really cool to check that out. I think it's
that's
called
awesome.
Blood into Wine.
I think it actually might be on my watch list. I'll have to look, but I'll definitely check it out and report back.
Your number four, please.
Your number five.
Oh, really? Oh, shoot. I preemptively marked that out. My number five is one of our only two repeats so far, and I had to go spit out the bone for sure.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Love the song.
I mean,
for all the reasons.
What else could be
said
that hasn't been said already?
We've said it all. So, number four?
Number four, Halo on Fire.
Album version, I take it.
Album version, yes. I mean, I love the SNM2 version. I love the sauce that they added to it. Man, I just remember listening to Hardwired for the very first time, front to back, and hearing Halo on Fire, and when James does that scream going into the chorus.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I mean, I got chills the first time I heard it, and it just, I don't know, man. To me, this is a very top-notch Metallica song.
And we talked about it before, but that's basically the ballad of Hardwired, right?
It's like the sanitarium of Hardwired. You know,
yeah.
It gets faster at the end and stuff like that. And how about that ending with the...
Killer.
So good.
And ended up being, just for the whole tour, just such a great live moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
You give Kirk a big runway. I wonder what key that was in. I think I looked that up once. I think it's in that key that Kirk, like, I think it might be like B minor, where he can kind of just, kind of the way Fade to Black ends, you know?
Right.
He just has
yeah.
this great runway where he can go.
Mm-hmm,
I would like to ask the meatloaf eating metal police who know the key, don't write in, because I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing
right.
off the top of my head.
How about this? Let's just say it's B minor. And even if it's not, who cares?
Okay.
What's your number
four? My number four is Judas Kiss.
Ooh, good one.
Which I've talked about through the years that I love, and Deep Cut on Death Magnetic.
Got that great diminished chord, like bang,
again. Yeah, right. Is that what that is? A diminished chord?
It kind of is. It's basically like,
yeah. Pull a guitar down. Give me a guitar lesson here. I could use one. I could use one at age 37.
Let me tell you all.
Hashtag
about
always learning.
This chord. It's just a weird like. I think it's in.
So what are you doing?
It's like we use these chords in Demon Hunter a lot. It's a B flat, an E, and another B flat.
Ah,
so essentially you got that weird thing,
and then you're going to an E. That
and he goes, yeah.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
I think Kirk plays it up here. Same thing, but
right. He does play it up the neck. And what's really fun is I think it's on Quebec Magnetic. It's one of those Death Magnetic releases. He's playing that super funky German guitar.
Oh yeah,
that looks like it's made out of pipes and shit.
Yeah, it's a weird, very ugly guitar.
It's a really cool lyric, man. It's like, it's a really, I find the lyrics to Death Magnetic kind of mysterious. I feel like mm-hmm. they're well done. I like them all, but I don't really know. It definitely doesn't sound real personal to me. It sounds like a lot of metal collages. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking about like That Was Just Your Life and Broken, Beaten, Scarred. But Judas Kiss to me is a really great rumination on betrayal, obviously told through the imagery of Judas kissing Jesus.
Right, yeah.
And then that through that section where he says, Judas lives, recite this vow, I become your new God now.
Judas lives, recite this vow, I become your new God now.
That's so
oh
good.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like, it's a really, really great lyric. And I actually thought it would be more towards number one or two, but these other songs beat it out. But that's Judas Kiss for you, baby. What's your number three?
My number three is another repeat, but not from the same record, The Day That Never Comes.
Okay.
Because you had the SNM2 version, correct?
I did.
Yeah, Day That Never Comes off of the Death Magnetic record, studio version. Another one of those, like a Halo on Fire, like a Fade to Black, whatever. I just love the journey that the song goes on. And it was the first single they released. I remember specifically being at my old house in Nashville, and shoot, this is pre having, I might have had Twitter, maybe. I don't remember. I didn't even have an iPhone yet. I didn't know that. But man, I specifically remember like seeing online that the new song was coming out, and I immediately went to iTunes and bought it, and was just so excited because it just, like even the little production issues didn't even bother me because my excitement was that high for this new record. So that's why it's that high on my list.
Well, cool. I know that the dude who directed that video, he just put out a film that Lars is like freaking out about, that he keeps talking about on his socials. So I guess that guy went on to, you know, make a lot of filmmakers begin their careers making music videos.
Yeah. I mean, do you know how many music videos Steven Spielberg made for my old band? It was crazy.
I don't know, 30?
Him and George Lucas just could not make enough videos for us.
Right, right. And if it weren't for the exposure they got from those videos, they might not have gone on to do their seminal work. So I want to thank you for
no problem
for doing that.
Nobody would know what Star Wars was.
My number three, Dream No More.
Nice. That's such a good...
Super heavy. I mean, I love that on their latest album, they have added to the canon of just that sad but true type heavy. There's even that kind of pause in this one, like sad but true.
Yep, totally.
I think it's one of the best solos on Hardwired. I love that Kurt kind of comes out of his thing and it starts echoing vocal melodies. It actually reminds me of the solo of Unforgiven 3, which is one of my favorite solos on Death Magnetic. I love the lyric. I love the Cthulhu mythos. I love the outro with Rob doing those gang vocals with James.
Mm-hmm, totally.
It's just a great, sludgy, heavy song that I think, now that we've got some distance and some time with Hardwired, I think it gets overlooked.
It does, man. But I mean, hey, I was stoked they started playing it live and James would play that Purple Explorer. And
yeah, I saw it. You were there. I think they, was that Birmingham?
They did it in Birmingham, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when he put that guitar on, it was like,
oh shit.
Not to be nerdy Metallica podcast guy, but I was like, holy shit, they're going to play Dream No More. Because I think at that time, again, keep eating your meatloaf. Don't interrupt your meatloaf sesh. Yeah. But I think they were alternating it with Confusion.
I think you're right.
But it wasn't like Memory Fuel, where it's like they're going to do one each night. There was just kind of a weird slot where they would do one of those two.
Yeah, it was kind of sporadic here and there. And whenever it would happen, it was really exciting.
Anything else to say about Dream No More?
It's just awesome. And I think
it's awesome.
It's awesome. It's a fun song to have.
Don't you feel, I mean, I used to do this when I was a kid, especially, you know, I would go see Dave Matthews Band a lot. Sorry to all of you out there. But, you know, he's the kind of artist who plays a really different set every night. Yeah. So People do these things with a band like Dave Matthews or Phish where you chase songs, meaning you're trying to see certain songs live.
Yeah, for sure.
And I do feel lucky that we saw Dream No More. I don't know if they'll be playing that one much anymore.
I mean, it's a great song, but yeah, I think you're right, man. I can't see them like having this in constant rotation.
No. All right, getting down to the top two, aren't we?
Here we go, yeah. My number two is Moth Into Flame. Yeah, I don't. What can you say about this song? I mean, it's an instant classic. This will be in rotation for sure for a long time.
Absolutely,
amazing song live. I mean, it's just this to me is a very classic, you know, but modern Metallica song.
I couldn't agree more with all that. So we'll go to number two for me. This is a repeat from your list, but it's way way high up for me. It's I Disappear.
I belong. Then it's time I disappear.
I had a feeling yours was going to be way up there because I know how much you love that song.
Yeah, there's just no way it wasn't going to be on the list. And right. I don't know. Is it a better song than like some of these? Is it a better song than The Day That Never Comes? Probably not.
Right.
But is it more of my favorite? Yeah. And I think it has a lot to do with the time.
Sure.
It's the year 2000. To me, it's still in that great 90s era. It's the capstone. It's the last.
Yeah. What was the last song Jason recorded?
Right. When there's some discrepancies of whether or not Bob Rock did the bass, but Jason's in the video and Jason did the VMA performance and it's still Jason's touches on it.
Right. Yeah.
The video I remember loving. I think it's a cool look for the band. I love that Kirk was playing that green kind of like surf green Strat.
Yeah.
James with his like zip up leather thing. But I liked James's like real early aughts, like Frosted Tips type hair vibe.
Totally.
With the very early aughts sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he definitely had fish tacos on set with that haircut.
I love the chorus. I love that ambient. I love how that chorus kind of comes down into that almost like marching.
Like a train beat, you know, kind of. I love that. That's one of the coolest choruses.
That "Do You Bury Me When I'm Gone?" And then it kind of erupts into that "Wow!" And that "Wow!" thing, actually, now that we're talking about that, kind of has that diminished chord vibe like in Judas Kiss, right?
Yeah, it's a little, yeah, it's kind of weird.
There's like a weird note in there that kind of gives it a lot of personality.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that it was for a film. I think it's cool that it's like a 3-minute, it was meant to be a hit.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, like, I think that's cool. I like it.
It was so unique, too, because Metallica's not the kind of band that, you know, releases a song for a soundtrack specifically. You know, their stuff has been used in a few films, not a lot, but it's always, you know, back catalog stuff. So it was cool that they did a song specifically for a movie.
So now I need to try to guess what your number one is. And surely it's either a Hardwired or Death Magnetic song. I mean, I can't. Yes. Imagine you put Purify up here.
Sweet Amber is my number.
So what would it be? Oh, it just occurred to me what it is.
Okay.
For real. Unforgiven 3.
Ding, ding.
Got it. All right.
Got it. Yeah. Unforgiven 3 is my number one.
That's really cool.
It's one of James's coolest songs he's ever written.
It's one of his best lyrics. I was going to mention that earlier when I talked about the lyrics of Judas Kiss really reaching out to me as like a great little, like on paper, it's great.
Yeah.
Unforgiven 3 is for sure one of his best lyrics. The whole theme of water and the whole nautical theme, the shore, and
I mean
it's got a very cool like Moby Dick creepiness to it.
It absolutely does. And I mean, I remember when we first started piecing together Cover All Wore Black in Volume 1. This was the first one I started demoing. You know, it's such a cool song. And it's one of those songs too. And James is such a good writer at doing this. You can take so many Metallica songs and kind of reinterpret them pretty easily, you know? It's had to be number one for me. I think when I first typed out 1 through 10 with no songs in it yet, I immediately just typed in Unforgiven 3 at the top. I was like, that's going to be my number one.
These days drift on inside of fog. It's thick and suffocating. The seeking life outside, it's hell inside intoxicating. That is so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's just really killer. Yeah, really killer.
It's awesome.
Good job, James. You know, James listens, and I think it's important for us to occasionally encourage him in his lyric writing. Yeah. So I just want to say to you right now, James, you did a good job, homie. Yeah.
Keep it up, buddy.
Do you want to guess what my number one is?
I kind of feel like your number one might be something off S&M 2. Am I warm or cold?
That's not close.
Okay. Shoot.
You know it. It's the same way that I knew. I knew it deep within what your number one would be. It just took me a minute. You know it.
Yeah. Is it Moth in the Flame?
It's Moth in the Flame.
Blacked out. to the flame.
Yes, I did. Man, we were so close to lining up on that one.
Yeah, we were. Number two and number one.
Shoot, man.
It's just one of the most perfect songs of the last 20 years.
Yes,
of their
agreed.
Career, for sure.
Agreed.
It amazes me that they did it. Not because they're not amazing. They've been an amazing band for 40 years, but
yeah.
To get that song so right, to write it so right, and then to record it so right. I mean, I love the intro. It's kind of like the Ride the Lightning intro.
Mm-hmm.
Down, boom. It's got those guitar harmonies. It's got that kind of like hook right up top. They're able to revisit it in the middle of the song again. You know?
Absolutely, man.
Great chorus. I love what it's about. You know,
great content.
He talks about it, you know, he talks about Amy Winehouse a lot in the context of the writing and the meaning of the song.
Yeah.
But it's classic case of he wrote that song about him, his goddamn self.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think
it's like Puppets.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it was almost like a self-check song, you know?
Yeah, or self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, for sure, man. There's a great that Song Exploder podcast, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And they now have a series on Netflix, which is cool.
Oh yeah. I watched the one on Losing My Religion. Fucking good.
Did you tear up? Because I did.
Oh, yeah.
When Michael Stipe is talking and he's hearing his vocal soloed for the first time since the studio.
And it's so hard for him to listen to.
Yeah. I know, but man, that 20-minute-ish episode made me want
so good.
An REM documentary.
Oh, dude. Well, that's if you've never really done kind of a dive into them, it's deep.
Oh,
that's
some
deep shit.
I love REM. They're great.
They're just one of the greatest bands ever, man.
They are. But all that to say is on the Song Exploder podcast, there is an episode with James on this song. And it's a good listen if you haven't listened to it yet.
What is there left to say? Oh, honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, yeah.
When a Blind Man Cries was almost on my list.
Ooh.
The amazing Deep Purple cover from, it was originally on like a Deep Purple tribute, but I don't have that. I'm not a big Deep Purple guy, but it was on disc three of Hardwired.
Yeah.
And the boys obviously like it because they keep playing it live whenever they get together to do those benefit shows.
Yeah, totally, man. Good song.
Really good recording too, man. Really great, like Pink Floyd kind of spacey thing from Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
A really great solo, really great vocal by James. Another honorable mention, as I already mentioned, although less honorably, Hell and Back.
Yes, of course.
It's my favorite song from Beyond Magnetic. It got bumped by Lords of Summer. And then my third honorable mention, for sure, got to give a shout out to our buddy Avi and the amazing reimagining of All Within My Hands.
Awesome.
SNM2.
Awesome.
How about you?
My honorable mentions. My Apocalypse.
Okay.
Which I mentioned before, kind of got bumped off the list from Spit Out the Bone.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is All Nightmare Long, which was on your list.
Mm-hmm. So was My Apocalypse.
And that was a little tough to bump off the list, but that's why we have honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. And my number one honorable mention was Atlas Rise.
Oh man, yeah,
I love that song. And
such a cool song.
To me, that's that. Maybe not quite at the level, but to me, it's kind of pushing up there with Moth in the Flame. I think it's such a great classic Metallica tune. And great live, man. When the whole crowd yells "Rise," it's so good.
Yeah, it ended up being a great song live for sure, and another amazing accomplishment on that record. Like lyrically, really deep, and pulling from the imagery of like the Ayn Rand imagery of Atlas Shrugged and
mm-hmm.
the burden being placed on somebody. And I tell you what made me really appreciate that song was learning how to play it.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's I mean, you know, I don't think I spend a lot of energy pretending I'm some kind of guitar player. So I'm not. I'm a bitching guitar player, but I know what I can and can't do.
Yeah.
So that's one of the songs that like, when I like listen to Hardwired, I'm like, oh, I could play that, you know, like I could play that and have fun.
Yeah.
So I learned Atlas so I could just jam it. It's kind of like Now That We're Dead. It's just that kind of groove.
Yeah, for sure. You know, once you learn it and kind of get it, have it in your brain, you don't have to really think about it much. You know, you just kind of have fun playing it and
it's just fun. Yeah. It's just super fun. It's not like a workout, you know?
Well,
like
I mean,
playing Disposable Heroes is like, I have to like, you know, get hyped up to play it. You know?
Go do CrossFit first, you know?
Exactly. So, but learning all the different riffs and how it's constructed, I mean, there's a lot of really complicated stuff going on in that song that I did not notice until I got it under my fingers.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that this band can still strive for that kind of excellence, because they could have just put a three riffs together and been like, ah, fuck it.
Yeah, that's good enough, you know.
But there's a bunch of, like, they do stuff at the end of Atlas that doesn't happen in the rest of the song.
Yeah, I know.
It's, why?
It's super cool.
Like, why do they, it's so cool.
Well, that's almost like a like Disposable Heroes. You know, there's this extra parts they just tack on the end or whatever.
Yeah, right.
The song that will not end. But, man, those are a really fun list, man. That was cool. And next, we'll do the 2030s.
And our future favorites.
Future favorite Metallica songs.
Well, we appreciate you out there. And if you like the show, consider doing all the things we said at the beginning, which is leaving a view or telling your buddy. You know, everyone has a podcast now. So
they do.
Maybe mention us on your podcast. Mention us on your blog. Mention us on your, put us in your MySpace top 8.
Oh, please
really
do that.
Appreciate
yes.
that. And you can always join the Discord server and get connected with other Metal Up Your Podcast listeners. And what else can we say? I hope everyone's staying warm.
Yeah, stay warm, and, stay safe. We hope you down there in Texas get power restored soon, get some heat, some water. And yeah, listen, you're in our thoughts and our hearts, and we hope the best for everyone in Texas.
And we will see you all next week on what I like to call the flippity floppity peace.
Adios.
'Cause you were our advisor, what would you say? Then I would say, delete that.